Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It was never about power, but empowerment of 62 members.
National unemployment is creeping towards 10%, but at least 62 state senators are back at work. I'm Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. Pedro Espada, one-man stimulus bill, has jumped back to the Democratic side. Okay, he was never not a Democrat, but he's now back working with his old friends who are smiling through gritted teeth. The Senate is at work again. Espada is in their caucus now as majority leader. We don't know exactly what a majority leader will do in the Senate, but we'll find out in the next hour as we talk to Timesman Danny Hakem, who's been covering Albany like gray snow in December. But first, this was House Speaker Nancy Pelosi back on May 14th.
They talked about interrogations that they had done and said, we want to use enhanced techniques, and we have legal opinions that say that they are okay. We are not using waterboarding. That's the only mention that they were not using it. And we now know that earlier they were. So yes, I am saying that they are misleading, that the CIA was misleading the Congress.
New information on that charge. The CIA is a clandestine organization. The House Intelligence Committee is sworn to secrecy. Given the sources, it's hard to know what to make of this miasma. The CIA may have lied to Congress, but over what? And with little more than confusion, pundits left and right have thrown accusations at each other, putting both Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, and Leon Panetta, who leads the CIA, on the defensive. Here's a fact. Seven Democratic lawmakers have made public a letter from the CIA chief, which contends that the CIA had misled Congress since 2001. But about what? Joining me now is Spencer Ackerman, who writes for the Washington Independent. Hello, Spencer.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
I'm good. That's my question. What is the lie or the misleading about?
We don't know. We know that it occurred. So, as you mentioned, starting a couple days ago, Leon Panetta goes to the House Intelligence Committee, and he lets them know about some activity or activities. It appears right now to be one particular activity that doesn't appear to have gotten off the ground, although it may have been in some kind of, you know, zombie state where they rename it and it comes on back. But it doesn't appear to have gone operational. It happens out of the CIA's counterterrorist center. We're led to believe it's some kind of capability, meaning how to go about collecting on something, rather than something concerning a specific target like Al-Qaeda or Iran or something like that. He mentions that he's learned that over the past 7-8 years, since 2001 and leading up through May, the Congress was not properly informed about this. That spurs seven Democratic members of the House committee to send a letter to Panetta and release it publicly on Wednesday, saying Panetta has misled, has recognized it, that the CIA has misled us. Would you like to perhaps, Mr. Director, amend your earlier statement that misleading Congress isn't policy?
Now, the seven Democratic lawmakers who released this letter, were they in the briefings? Because there are very few members of the House Intelligence Committee who would have direct access to those briefings.
They were in the June, I believe it was 24 briefing with Panetta, and came out of that pretty freaked out about this program. What I think you're referring to is something called the Gang of Eight, which is a restricted number of House and Senate members who are allowed to hear briefings on the most sensitive intelligence programs. Those are usually covert programs, and it's restricted to the political leadership of the House and Senate and the top Democrats on and Republicans on the House and Senate intelligence committees. This, however, appears to be a program that was not designated as a covert program, and so programs that aren't covert do not, it's the law is a bit murky, but to put it another way, if it was covert, then it would have definitely had by law to be briefed to that Gang of Eight.
Okay, and I want to make something clear, and you've done this. It's not that you haven't done the job, but it's very confusing. The clip we played.
You could say that I haven't done my job. Oh, man. We're all trying to find out about this.
The clip that we played of Nancy Pelosi was specifically about waterboarding. And after she made those statements, she got a lot of criticism, including from Newt Gingrich. And we're going to play what he said. And the back and forth there seemed to be about the question, was Nancy Pelosi lied to about waterboarding? Now we have this new set of facts where these Democratic lawmakers and others have said, see, the CIA came before us and admitted they lied or misled. But the new set of facts might not have been about waterboarding. So depending on how you look at it, either Nancy Pelosi or her detractors could both still be right.
That's right. If we're to believe what has come out of some House and Senate members, that this was not a program that went operational, then that's good reason to believe that it's not about waterboarding and it's not about the broader so-called enhanced interrogation program that was the subject of so much controversy over these last several years. The issue about the CIA misleading Congress is more of an issue for House Democrats who want to say it's not crazy for Pelosi to assert that the CIA misleads Congress. It's done so as a matter of course pretty much for its entire history. The first, like, 25, 30 years of the CIA were basically a case study in how to consistently mislead Congress.
And the issue became, perhaps it was turned into a bit of a referendum on Nancy Pelosi and leading that charge, or the most prominent vocal critic of Nancy Pelosi at the time, back in May, was a man who used to hold her job, Newt Gingrich. Let's play what he said, and this is from ABC.
With Speaker Pelosi's comments last Thursday, particularly the ones in which she alleged that the Central Intelligence Agency routinely lies to Congress, that she really disqualified herself to be Speaker. I mean, there's no problem with her being a member of the House.
So you but think?
I think the Democrats should get a new Speaker. And I just think that for the Congress to allow the third-ranking person to be president, to be a person who is this lacking in respect for national security, is very dangerous for the country.
So that was Diane Sawyer during the interview, and I'm speaking with Spencer Ackerman. Spencer, what do you think of Newt Gingrich's statement? Does he have egg on his face now, or will he say, I stand by what I said?
I mean, he'll say he stands by what he says no matter what. The facts have never gotten in the way of Newt Gingrich running his mouth off in front of a camera. The issue, though, is, you know, pretty clearly that whether it was about waterboarding or not, it's probably not. This particular case shows the director of the CIA recognizing that the agency over the last several years misled Congress, improperly briefed Congress, insufficiently briefed Congress, whatever. And you'd really have to be rather deliberately naive or demagogic to believe that just as a matter of, like, basic, you know, principle, no, the CIA would never do that. Like, that's just foolish.
Well, we know that Newt Gingrich isn't naive, and that's one thing that confuses me. He's normally a savvy guy. Why would he put himself out on this limb like that and say that Nancy Pelosi was totally wrong? She was briefed on waterboarding. Presumably, he has contact with people who are Republicans who are in on those briefings who could have told him, Newt, what Nancy Pelosi is saying is right. So why would Newt Gingrich put himself out like that if 2 months later what has come out came out?
I mean, the guy has a pretty consistent history of just talking reckless. You know, it's not really a surprise that, you know, he would end up getting caught out there. And more, the issue appears to be on the Republican side, as, you know, one of my colleagues at the Washington Independent, Dave Weigel, has reported quite a lot. The more the House Republicans think they can make Nancy Pelosi, the rather liberal Speaker of the House on a lot of issues, or at least like the kind of, you know, they believe culturally other, you know, San Franciscan, the face of the Democratic Party in the House, they think the better the upshot is for them. And then, you know, there's the issue of just, you know, trying to embrace CIA on an issue where there's all of this controversy about investigating an agency that really truly wants to just be done with this past on waterboarding, on interrogation, and on a lot of other issues of controversy. So it's not exactly bad politics to be demagogic on this question.
Strip away the finger pointing and strip away the tactics. What about the facts of the charge? Nancy Pelosi said recently, or said within the last couple years, waterboarding was a surprise to us. Her critics said you actually knew about it years before you raised a ruckus. What about those facts?
I mean, that's an issue where Pelosi really does have a lot to account for, as does, you know, every other member of the Gang of Eight. Pretty much on both this issue and on warrantless surveillance, the Democratic side has said that, you know, they were insufficiently briefed and that they didn't get the sufficient knowledge of what the program was in its detail. Pelosi on this issue specifically said, and a couple other members, including Bob Graham on the Senate side, has said that on that particular briefing and on this particular issue, waterboarding was portrayed to them as something the CIA might do in the future rather than had done already. And at that point, of course, the CIA had already, I believe that briefing, if I'm not mistaken, was September of 2002. So it had already done that to Abu Zubaydah, one of the first high-ranking al-Qaeda detainees, and I believe another al-Qaeda detainee named al-Nashri, though I'm not totally sure that he was waterboarded in 02. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of where this back and forth is. There's an investigation moving forward in the Senate Intelligence Committee that will also cover what it was the agency told members of Congress and contrast it with what actually occurred during this time period. So there's still a lot of unclarity and politics going on this question.
And speaking of politics, people in Washington are saying this argument, or depending on your point of view, supposed argument, it isn't really about what it seems like. It's about maybe distracting people from an upcoming intelligence bill. What do you know about that bill?
Well, this bill is basically under, very surprisingly, a veto threat from President Obama. One of the provisions within the bill is one that emerged after this Pelosi-CIA controversy to expand access on intelligence briefings to the full House and Senate Intelligence Committees on sensitive interrogation programs. A bit of why the controversy over this question has existed is about procedural questions, whether it's the Congress that has the right to expand the briefings or whether that's an executive prerogative. But the substance of the issue is about expanding transparency to the committees so that you wouldn't be in this sort of back and forth anymore where only a few people are able to either substantively adjudicate what the committees are told or, you know, alternatively, you know, settle the question of what the committees were told and just expand it so that there would be a political disincentive to misrepresent what's happening in the briefing. And the Obama administration has said absolutely not. We'll veto the intelligence bill, which we can't actually know this, but supposedly it's around $50 billion annually. They're saying they're not going to move forward with that bill if that provision doesn't get stripped out. And we're basically, this vote can happen at any time. There's conferees going back and forth to figure out how they can make this thing work and avoid the veto. We're still waiting to hear on that.
The Intelligence Committee was once seen as pretty much nonpartisan. And then in the last administration before this one, it became fractured along partisan lines. Do you think a changing culture of Washington can make it the sort of thing where the people on the committee say, let's keep politics out of that, or has that boat sailed?
Yeah, that boat really sailed. This is never going to be a situation where either of these committees are nonpartisan. Just never, ever again. That's not going to happen. On a lot of substantive business, the two parties have more of an incentive on working together, like getting an intelligence bill, you know, moving out. But it's not going to be a situation where politics stays out of it. We're really in a situation where national security is just as much a part of a political debate as any other domestic policy. And so you're not going to have a situation in which partisanship stays out of it.
And I don't know if I'm quoting you or there was an excellent Newsweek article on this issue as well, but one of you two guys wrote, and you'll be able to say if these are your words or not, Spencer, the political story over allegations that the CIA misled Congress has so far overshadowed what may be a significant political development. President Obama again appears to be siding with the CIA in resisting demands by human rights groups and liberal Democrats in Congress for closer scrutiny over covert programs. This is what you were talking about a second ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's Issachoff and Hosenball, who are excellent reporters at Newsweek, and it's really true. The administration, during the transition and during its early days, you know, heard rather fulsomely from human rights advocates and from progressives in the House Intelligence Committee, in particular, that and in certain membership the Senate Intelligence and Judiciary Committees, that there really needed to be a very thoroughgoing investigation of what exactly the CIA did during the Bush administration, particularly on interrogations, on renditions, on detentions. And this is something that the administration decided pretty early on it wasn't going to pursue, it wasn't going to move forward with, and would oppose if ultimately the House or the Senate tried to impanel a commission. It resembles, you know, quite a lot the Bush administration's early refusal to allow the Senate to impanel a 9/11 commission, although the Bush administration ultimately had to back down to that in the face of public pressure. There's no indication that public pressure is sufficient to get the Obama administration to back down, or that the Obama administration has any interest in backing down. It seems so far to have basically reach the kind of political equilibrium that it will be a much more productive relationship with a CIA that's already viewing it skeptically and already worried about being hung out to dry if it says that, you know, the Senate investigation that's moving forward is going to be basically the last word on this question. One backstory that's really worth remembering whenever investigating CIA comes up for debate is that the agency, ever since the famous Church and Pike hearings in the 1970s, they got into all of this illegal activity that CIA had been doing since it was chartered in 1949, mm-hmm. has been, are we going to get sold out by politicians? Are we going to get punished and possibly, you know, prosecuted for doing things that politicians said in various administrations, we want you to do, and we want no fingerprints on it? The agency has always got to deal with the prospect of being ordered to do something, in this case, you know, torturing detainees at the behest of an administration that's never going to face the same kind of potential prosecution that frontline practitioners are going to face. And when looking at a new administration seeking to solidify its bona fides with the CIA, its trust with the CIA to get them to carry out more activities, that's always going to be a prime consideration. Is this administration going to ask us to do things that we're going to be potentially legally responsible for if the political winds shift? And that's something that appears to have been decisive for the Obama administration.
That makes sense, and it gets to what I want to ask about next in our few remaining minutes. Leon Panetta, here's a knowledgeable man on policy, a skilled politician, a Democrat from California. By the way, all those things also apply to Nancy Pelosi, and from what I've read, they haven't gotten along over their careers. But is Leon Panetta serving a couple constituencies? I mean, obviously he is. You have the lifers at the CIA, and then you have, you know, his Democratic leanings in the Obama administration. What kind of, assess the job he's doing so far?
Oh, totally. I mean, any CIA director has to serve three constituencies. He's got to serve the administration that wants timely and accurate, thoroughgoing intelligence analysis and competent intelligence collection and covert operations. He's got to serve Congress that, as you can see, wants to know what's going on, and has to serve his troops, his frontline people, his analysts and his intelligence collectors. And clearly, Leon Panetta, you know, came into this job without any experience in, you know, dealing with the CIA outside of a policymaker role as chief of staff in the Clinton administration and, to a lesser extent, in Congress. And one of the things that he's tried very hard to do and really seems to have made an emphasis on is protecting CIA from what he fears can be a witch hunt if it gets further and further out into investigating its activities under the Bush administration that he himself called torture. And so he seems, in this case, I mean, this is total speculation, and we're still trying to figure out what's, you know, actually going on with this particular program, but he seems in this case to be putting forward at least some information about CIA misleading Congress that would probably come out, you know, inevitably. And I would think that given what Panetta's been doing in terms of trying to build confidence within the agency, restore morale, as he put it when Pelosi accused the CIA of lying, turn down the volume, he'd be saying that if we don't get this information out there, we're just going to be called an obstructions agency, the committees on the Hill are going to eat us for lunch, we're going to face increased pressure for a further investigation, and this would be a way of basically dialing down the pressure, disclosing some stuff to Congress, and try and withstand pressures for a more thoroughgoing investigation. There's one other thing that's lurking in the background here.
Quickly.
The administration has been sued by the ACLU for a document that the Inspector General of the CIA did in 2004 about how the interrogation regime worked in practice that's supposedly scathing. We've gotten some information out on it already. It's going to come out at some point. And this is a document that lots of people in the CIA worry is going to just absolutely intensify calls for either an independent commission or otherwise a more thoroughgoing investigation
and
than
it
what's
will
happening
put,
in the Senate.
And that will put the pressure perhaps on the Obama administration to do what they've been reluctant to do, which is to fully take on the actions of the CIA before they got there.
Exactly. Yeah. And if a program like this one comes out where it looks like the CIA is also not fully or fulsomely briefed Congress, it would just be like one other piece of information in that puzzle. And it might increase the pressure. So I don't know this for sure. I would just think, as someone reading the tea leaves like a lot of people out here, that this would be a consideration for any director of Central Intelligence.
Well, Spencer Ackerman of the Washington Independent, an excellent job. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks very much for having me.
And I'm Mike Peskett in on WNYC, back in a moment with the public advocate, Betsy Gottbaum.